All right, brethren, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Every born-again child of God, every born-again child of God has been given the mind of Christ. We've been given the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ so that we cannot be moved away from Christ, cannot be moved away from His gospel. Now, the Apostle Paul has been showing a difference here between the wisdom of men, the excellency of speech and the enticing words of man's wisdom that men use to preach. And he said, but we don't preach that way. We preach the wisdom of God. And it's wisdom to those that have been given a revelation by the Spirit of God to know these things. Now tonight he's going to show us how we know these things and why we preach these things. And he's going to show us that because of what Christ has done, we have the mind of Christ. And we'll never be able to be moved away from Christ by the wisdom of men, by the cunning craftiness, and by the false gospels and these things that men declare. We'll never be able to be moved away from the truth that's in Christ. Let's begin reading in verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, the things that Paul is going to declare here are things that are so of believers, of true believers, of those truly born of God, true believers. He says, verse 12, now we have received. This is true of Paul as an apostle. It's true of the other apostles. It's true of believers as well. All of God's saints, it's true. Remember who he's writing this to. Back in 1 Corinthians 1, 2, in chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, unto the church of God. That's who he's writing to. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. So the things that are written here are true of believers. True sanctified believers. We, the believer. Now, first of all, we're told what we have been given. This is the first thing, what we have been given. Verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, ever born again child of God, ever child of God, born from above, has been given a new spirit which is of God. It's a new spirit which is of God. We have received, he says, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. The spirit which is from God, of God. That's what we've received. We had nothing to do with receiving this. We couldn't educate ourselves into having this spirit. We couldn't will ourselves into having this spirit. We couldn't work ourselves into having this spirit. You and I could not do anything to have this Spirit, this new Spirit. It's of God. This Spirit is of God. This is the Spirit that we read about over in Ezekiel in chapter 11 when God said, I will give them one heart and I will put a new Spirit within you. We didn't have this Spirit when we were born the first time. This is a new Spirit God puts in you. And this Spirit is put in us, is created in us, and it's one with the Son of God, the Spirit of the Son of God. When the Spirit of the Son of God enters in, that's when this new Spirit's given. That's when this new Spirit's created. And this new Spirit's one with the Spirit of the Son of God. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and look at verse 6. Because ye are sons. Now this is so important. Because ye are sons. Don't you love that? Because God already made you a son, aren't you? Because you're sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And He says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. No more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Look over at John chapter 15. Do you remember whenever the Lord spoke about, you know, we're told here in our text we have the mind of Christ. And we're told right there, when the Spirit of the Son of God enters into you, we cry, Abba, Father, so that you're no more a servant, but now you're a son. Well, look at what Christ said in John 15. And in verse 15, this is how we're given the mind of Christ. When the Spirit of Christ enters, He does this for us now, just like He did for His disciples then. Did you hear what I said? Just like He did this for His disciples then, He does this now by His Spirit in His children. Watch this. John 15:15. He said, henceforth, I call you not servants. That's what we just read in Galatians. When this Spirit of the Son of God enters, you're no more servants. He says, and henceforth, I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now that's what we're talking about here. This Spirit is the Spirit of God entering in. And our text tells us this. We're given this new Spirit of God for this reason. Verse 12. That we might know. That we might know. The things that are freely given to us of God. Christ said, everything that the Father has revealed to me, I've made known to you. And this new Spirit's given us when the Spirit of Christ enters in, that we might know. Now there are some who would preach and teach that a believer can never know for certain whether or not he's a child of God. He has to always be kept in bondage, always kept in doubt, always kept in fear. That's not what this Scripture says. That's not what Christ said. The Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, does not give us the spirit of bondage to fear. He doesn't give us the spirit of doubt and the spirit to make us fear and wonder and question. He gives us the Spirit to make us know. Look at Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 15. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. God is not making His child live in bondage and in fear. That's not the spirit we've been given. But you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now watch this. The Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit of God, beareth witness with our spirit. This small s spirit is that spirit we're talking about in our text, that new spirit that's given you of God by God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit bears witness in that new spirit, with that new spirit, so that we know. He says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Verse 17, and if children, then you're heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Do you suppose the Spirit of God would make you know this, that Christ would enter in and make you know you are a child of God and an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ, and then down the road somewhere go, well, I was just kidding with you, you're not. I'm going to take my spirit from you. You're not really a child of God. Do you think God would do that? That would make God a liar. No, God. If He declares and bears witness with our spirit we're children of God, we are children of God and we are heirs of God. It's certainty. Now, this knowing, I want you to understand this too. He says here that we might know. This knowing is not only understanding. It's not only being able to discern and comprehend these things. This knowing is to receive the love of the truth. Is to receive the love of the truth. God calls you to fall in love with God. He calls you to fall in love with Christ. The carnal mind hates God. The natural mind hates God. Won't submit to God's Word, and it can't submit to God's Word. He said the flesh hates the light and won't come to the light. But when He gives this new spirit, He causes you to receive the love of the truth, of Christ the truth. Now then, by this Spirit, when we have this Spirit and we've been given the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, and as Paul told Timothy, we're given a sound mind and power and understanding. Now then, we're made to know, our text says, the things that are freely given to us of God. We're made to know the things that are freely given to us of God. What are these things? What are these things that are freely given to us of God? Look at 1 Corinthians 3. We're going to get to this here soon, and we see something here about why Paul's bringing this up already in the second chapter. And this is what he's going to be dealing with and why he's bringing this up to us. He says here in verse 21, let no man glory in men. Let no man glory in men. For all things are yours. And we're given the Spirit of God that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. What things? All things. All things. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or things in the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you're Christ's and Christ is God's. And all these things that are given us are freely given to us. They're freely. And who are they from? He says over in 2 Corinthians 5:18, all things are of God. All things are of God. We're given to know the things that are freely given to us of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 4 and look at verse 7. Who makes you to differ from another? Now listen to this next question. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? What do you have that was not given to you? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We talk about things spiritual and things secular, but the truth of the matter is, everything we have was given to us. Spiritual and temporal. Everything was given to us. So if you did receive it, why glory as if you did not receive it? Why would we glory and boast about anything, brethren? Now, he says that these things are freely given to us of God. Now, let's think about this. What about grace? Well, grace has got to be free because that's what grace is. That's the very definition of grace. It's free. What about salvation? Free. Well, what about faith to believe and receive it? It's free. It's a free gift. What did Paul say in Ephesians 2? By grace Are you saved? Through faith? And none of that's of yourself. It's all the gift of God, so that we don't boast. Well, what about this? In Romans 3, in verse 25, the Spirit says we're justified. We're justified. Justified from all our sins. All our sins have been put away. All our sins have been forgiven. We've been made the righteousness of God. How did that happen? Romans 3:24 says, justified freely by His grace. It's through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Through the redemption accomplished by Christ Jesus. And Christ is He whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, to be the mercy seat, the covering, to cover all our sins, all of our the law that we broke, to cover us in all our sin, a propitiation through faith in His blood. These things are free to us. They're freely given to us of God. But they cost Christ. They cost Christ dearly. This one who is God, who is equal with God, was made of a woman. It cost Him coming down from glory and walking amongst a bunch of sinners, amongst people who were nothing like Him. He was made under the law. Can you imagine that? Can you even get your... I can't get my little mind around God who gave the law coming and being made under His own law. Made under the law. And then, no sin in Him. No sin could be found in Him. Nobody could blame Him for anything whatsoever. He only did that which was good. He only did that which pleased the Father. He is the very personification of righteousness. The righteousness of God. And yet for His people, He was made sin. He was made a curse for us. It cost Him His precious life's blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. Without the soul that sinneth must die, and unless Christ died, there could be no forgiveness, no righteousness for His people, because God's law had to be upheld and honored, and He had to pour out justice on everybody that He saved. He did that by pouring it out on Christ in our room instead. It cost Christ being forsaken of God His Father. All so that God could come to you and give you a new spirit freely, and send forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart freely, and cause you to cry out, Father, my Father, and make you to know all these things have been freely given to you of God. Freely given. Freely given. He said in Revelation 21, I will give unto him that is athirst. Is anybody thirsty? Anybody thirsty? I mean, thirsty for God, thirsty for righteousness, thirsty for holiness, thirsty for that which you can't have unless God freely gives it to you. He said, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Don't bring anything. Don't come with your goodness. Don't come with your merit. Don't come with your works. Don't straighten up a little bit. Don't turn over a new leaf. No, come with that leaf turned upside down, ugly and old and nasty as it can be. Come like you are. And God said, and I'll give of the fountain of the water of life freely. The wages of sin is death. If we perish in our sins, it will be because we earned it fully ourselves. There'll be nobody else to blame but us. There'll be nobody else to boast but us. We can boast in one thing. I earned death. The wages of sin is death. I earned that. I earned that. Sure enough, I earned that. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a gift. This is the record. He says He's given us a new spirit that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. And this is what He does. He makes you know the record. He makes the record be known in the heart of His child. And this is the record. This is the gospel. This is the testimony of God. That God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Everything's in Christ. It's all in Christ. These things that are freely given to us of God are all in Christ. As a matter of fact, He's the unspeakable gift. He's the unspeakable gift. Now, we have received, He says, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Don't you love that? Don't you love the word free? Free is free. He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. For all those He loved, for all those that He chose, for all those Christ redeemed, for all those that He gives this new Spirit to, He delivered up His Son for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He must and He shall all things. Free. All right, here's the second thing. Now, that's how we receive and know these things that are freely given. Now, we speak these things the same way. It's by the same one that we receive and know these things, it's by Him that we speak these things. We preach these things. Watch this, verse 13. Which things also we speak, Paul said. These things that are freely given us of God, that's the things we speak. You come in here, and every time you come in here, you know what I'm going to be speaking. I'm not going to be speaking about what you do for God or what we're giving to God. We're going to be speaking about the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we speak. We're talking about God's works. We're bragging on God. We're bragging on what He's done. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, let me see if I can illustrate this and what this means. Now, let's take the Apostle Paul, for example. The Apostle Paul had to be given this new spirit, just like we read there in verse 12. And the Spirit of God revealed the truth in him and made him to know the things that are freely given to him of God. Made him to know these things. Christ revealed these things to him directly because he's an apostle. It had to be revealed to him directly. So he had the Spirit, this new Spirit, so that he knows all the things freely given to him of God. Well, the Lord's going to use him to write 3/4 of the New Testament. But God didn't just reveal this spiritual truth to Paul and then say, now, Paul, you just put it in any old words you want to. No. No. He said, now then, let me give you the spiritual words to write down and write this in truth. Write this in my scriptures. And so that's what Paul said. We've been given a spirit that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And we also speak these things by the same Holy Ghost. We speak them by the same Holy Ghost. Comparing, and that word comparing there, you see it, comparing? That word means uniting. It means joining. Uniting, joining, fitting together spiritual things with spiritual things. Here's what the Holy Spirit revealed spiritual truth to Paul. And then he moved Paul to unite the truth that had been revealed to him. Unite that truth with spiritual words that the Holy Spirit also gave to him. And that's what he spoke. That's what he wrote. The Holy Spirit revealed the truth, and the Holy Spirit united it with the words he'd have him to speak and to write. That agrees with what Peter wrote. Look over there in 2 Peter in chapter 1. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and look at verse 20. He's talking here about the Scriptures. And he says, knowing this first, no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. What does that mean? This prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake. Paul said, which things also we speak, not in the wisdom which, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. It says here, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see that? The Spirit was revealed in them, and then the Holy Ghost united that spiritual truth with spiritual words to write it. Okay, now let's look at me and you. Now we've got these spiritual words right here. We've got these Scriptures. Now, as we're taught by the Holy Spirit of God, a new Spirit's put in us. And He makes known to us the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, that's the spiritual truth. That's the doctrine we're taught by the Spirit of God in our hearts. Which things we also speak. Which things we also preach. But do we just preach things in any old words? No. We preach. We unite the spiritual truth with these spiritual words. We preach the things that are spiritually given by the Holy Spirit. He reveals them in our hearts, and we preach the Scriptures. Not the wisdom of words. Now, let me give you an example of this. Turn to Romans 8. The doctrine of election is spiritual truth that's taught in the heart of a child of God. I'm taught in my heart that God freely chose me by His grace. I'm taught that. Okay? Some men, false preachers, false teachers, men who use wisdom of words, when they come to this spiritual truth of the doctrine of election, they preach it in the wisdom which man's words teach. And what they say is, God foresaw who would believe, and so He chose those men unto salvation. We don't preach it. We don't unite that spiritual truth with our own words and preach it like that. We unite that spiritual truth with God's Word and preach it from God's Word. And here's what we preach, Romans 8:29. Whom God did foreknow, who He elected, who He foreordained to eternal life, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. That's how you preach the doctrine of election. You unite the spiritual truth with the spiritual words. And then you turn over to Ephesians 1, and you unite it with those spiritual words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ, according as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, and predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, wherein He's made us accepted in the Beloved. See what we're doing? We're uniting the truth of election with the spiritual words the Holy Ghost has already given. So that we see, that's what the Scripture teaches. But now let me tell you something. There's something else this word means. Comparing, uniting, joining spiritual things with spiritual things. There's something else it means. As that gospel is preached, as we're speaking this, using the Spirit, the words the Spirit teaches, the Spirit unites those words in that new Spirit that He's given into the heart of His child. That Spirit is united, it's joined, it's fitted with that new Spirit in His child. Do you remember whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was walking along and He had been preaching and He had all these disciples that had followed Him? They weren't true disciples. They just decided they'd follow Him. They wanted to follow Him for the loaves and the fishes, remember? And He began to tell them. He knew who were His and who weren't. He began to tell them, except you eat My flesh and drink My blood, you don't have any life in you. And they couldn't understand that. They had no spiritual discernment to understand what that meant. And they kept saying, that's a hard saying. Who can hear that? And so finally, they just walked away from Him and went back and didn't walk with Him anymore. And the Lord said this, It's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. And here's what he means by it's the spirit that quickens. The words that I speak. That spiritual truth that I speak. Their spirit and their life. I'm going to speak it and I'm going to put it in you and you're going to have spirit and you're going to have life. I'm going to unite this truth from the words that I speak into that spirit that I've given so that you'll have it. It'll be united. That's what this word compare means, united. So you see what it means? Paul says, this was revealed to me, but I didn't just write it down of my own words and speak it of my own words. I also spoke what the Holy Ghost taught me. And so when we preach, we get the truth from God, and then we preach according to what the Holy Spirit gave to Paul. And then the Spirit comes, and Christ speaks the Word, and those words are joined with Spirit and life in you that He puts in you. That's what this means now. Now, taking this that we've seen, everything we've seen here, we're given a new Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God reveals or makes us to know the things that are freely given to us of God, and all these things are in Christ the Lord. God's given His Son, and all these blessings are in the Son of God, Christ Jesus our Lord. And so then that we speak these things. We've been made to freely know these things, were freely given, and we speak these things in the words which the Holy Spirit teaches us. And then that Holy Spirit is going to unite these spiritual truths to that Spirit that He's given in His elect. All right, with that being the case then, lastly, this is the work by which we're given the mind of Christ. Remember Christ said, everything that the Father's made known to me, I've made known to you. This is how we're given the mind of Christ. This is how Christ has made wisdom unto us. So that we won't ever be moved away from Christ by these men who are preaching with wisdom of words, and by these men who are preaching with subtlety and craftiness and cunning, we won't be moved away because we're given this mind of Christ. Now look, verse 14. Now we have these things, he said, and we speak these things by the Spirit, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. No natural man is going to receive these things. But that doesn't mean he won't be religious. You see, number one, these things are foolishness unto him. To tell him that God's salvation is free, it's not earned, it's not merited, to tell him it's freely given to whom God will give it to tell him grace is sovereign grace, to tell him that God elects whom He will by His grace, to tell him that redeeming grace is particular redeeming grace, to tell him that regenerating grace is that grace whereby we must be born from above and that you can't give yourself this Spirit, to tell him that God gives freely the preserving grace of His hand to keep us by the power of His Spirit, and that one day He's going to resurrect us and glorify us, and all this is free. The man hears that and he says, "That's you can't tell sinners that. That's foolishness. That's going to promote sin if you tell that. You've got to speak that a little more wisely than just saying it's a free gift of God." That's what man, it's foolishness to him. He says, "I can wise that up. You let me have that and let me put my words to it. I can wise that up for you." And then the second reason is this. Neither can he know them. They're foolishness to him, and he can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. Until the Spirit of God gives him a new spirit, you see that free will, that so-called free will he's boasted in? That's got to be subdued by God. And that so-called wisdom he's boasting in, he's got to be made to see that's total ignorance. And a new spirit's got to be put in him, and he's got to be given the truth of God. But because he won't receive these things, and because he won't bow to these things, because he can't know these things, brethren, there's going to always be men preaching with the spirit of the world. And they're going to be preaching in the wisdom which man's words teach, the words which man's wisdom teach. And they're going to be subtle and crafty and cunning and leading men away. How is it then that the believer won't be led away? All who are born of God, truly spiritual, are protected and fortified against natural men, against their false gospels and their subtle wisdom of words. Number one, because we now discern truth from error by this Spirit of God. Look at verse 15. But he that's spiritual, he judgeth, he discerneth all things. And yet he himself judged of no natural man. You know, we've been there. We were there in that natural stuff. So we know what that's like. We can hear it and we can know that's the spirit of error. That's will works religion. But that man who's there, he can't hear us. He can't discern us. But we've been given a discernment to know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's number one reason. Number two, natural men who are standing up and preaching with the wisdom of words and preaching what they're preaching, they're incompetent to teach a child of God. That's why we're not going to be led astray with them. They're incompetent to preach spiritual truth to us. Look here, verse 16. Now, I'm going to read this the way that I'm persuaded this is what this means. Now, let me read it to you. Okay, verse 15, he said, he that's spiritual discerns all things, yet he himself is judged of no natural man. Because what natural man hath known the mind of the Lord, that natural man might instruct a spiritual man? You get it? That man that's natural, he doesn't discern anything, because what natural man has known the mind of the Lord? You've got to have the mind of the Lord and know the mind of the Lord to discern and to teach and instruct. And that natural man doesn't have the mind of the Lord. So how's he going to instruct the spiritual man? How's he going to teach a spiritual man? Have you ever heard a false gospel preached and thought, well, I got a lot out of that. That was really good spiritual stuff right there. Never. Never. I've heard men who say, well, now he didn't preach the truth, but there was a lot of good in it. I've never heard somebody preach lies against my God and said there was anything good about it. Everything he said was a lie. Because he lied. If he lied about one thing, I don't want to hear any of it. If he's telling lies on my Redeemer. He's incompetent to be preaching spiritual truth. He don't have the mind of the Lord, or he'd be preaching the truth. And here's the third reason. Number one, we got spiritual discernment to know truth from error. Number two, a natural man's incompetent to teach because he don't have the mind of the Lord. And number three, the reason we won't be led away, we have the mind of Christ. We've been taught. See there, verse 16, but we have the mind of Christ. Remember what you read in Job? Who can turn the Lord? He's in one mind. Who can turn him? And when you've got the mind of Christ, that's true of you. You're of one mind with the Lord, and you can't be turned from Him. He won't let you be turned from Him. He just won't. So, if you have the mind of Christ, you're on that firm foundation. And it's impossible to be led away from Him by the cunning craftiness of men who are preaching with the wisdom of words. It can't be done. Christ won't let it happen. Now let me very quickly show you some scripture in John, and I'm just going to read this, but I'm going to show you John, speaking by the same Holy Spirit, says the same thing. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. Listen to this. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You see that? That's the same thing Paul told us by the same Holy Spirit. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I've not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Look down at verse 24. He says, let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. What's that? The truth of God. These things that are freely given to us of God. And if that which you've heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. You won't be led away. Look, watch now. Verse 25, and this is the promise that He has promised us, even eternal life. These things I've written unto you concerning them that seduce you. And that's what we're going to find out as we go through 1 Corinthians, that Paul's writing these things because of some men who were seducing them in Corinth. He says, these things I write concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. Why? You know all things. You've got spiritual discernment. As the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him. One more place, 1 John 4:4. He's talking here about the spirit of Antichrist, and he's talking about false preachers now. So he's talking about when he says, try the spirits. But now look what he says in verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and you've overcome them. You've overcome these false preachers and these Antichrist preaching lies. You've overcome them. How? Greater is He that's in you than he that's in them, in the world. Christ is in you. The Spirit of Christ is in you. Greater is He that's in you than is in the world. You not receive the Spirit of the world, but you receive the Spirit of God. Watch this. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We're of God. And he that knows God hears us. He that is not of God heareth not us. And hereby know we the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. See that? That's the same thing Paul's teaching there. Amen. Our Father, we thank You. Thank You that You've given us a spiritual discernment, that You've taught Your children by the Spirit of God. You've shown us that everything has come to us outside of us. It's all of Christ. It's in Christ. It's of Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, make us to know You and to know all things more clearly, more abundantly by Your Spirit, so that the more and more this world becomes crafty and subtle in the lies that men tell on God, that we might be able to truly know spirit from error, that we might cling ever to Christ, having the mind of Christ, and not be led astray. Thank You, Lord, for these things. We pray now that if it's Your will, You take these spiritual truths and speak them and make life in that new spirit within one of Your children. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. All right.